past all the shops, didn't admire the beautiful swans in the moat surrounding Sleeping Beauty's castle, and we never went on It's a Small World, unless it was really hot outside. However, now as a 50-something adult, I look back on my youth of growing up in the shadow of the Matterhorn with not just nostalgic retrospect, but I now see how The House the Mouse Built was literally influential in defining my life and having a lasting effect on me in so many ways. I could not have guessed that Disneyland would enter so many stages of my life. Likewise, I'm sure the lives of countless other people were also intimately intertwined with Disneyland. From my earliest recollections of my grandmother taking my sister and me to Disneyland, I have snippets of memories that are as fresh as if I had experienced them yesterday. With both of my parents working, it fell onto the shoulders of my Grandma Marie to spoil her only grandkids by taking them to Disneyland a number of times each year. While I can still picture so many things about these early trips to the park, there are some memories that have receded so far into my consciousness that they are more like fading dreams that I sometimes wonder if any of them are even real. I do remember the feelings I had as a kid of being like my movie heroes, James Garner in the movie Up Periscope, or Kirk Douglas in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, when I had gazed out through the oval portals while on the submarine voyage at Disneyland. Viewing the vastness of that liquid space, or at least 9 million gallons of heavily chlorinated water, as a kid while on the submarine ride, the voyage was as real to me as if I were exploring the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean alongside oceanographer Jacques Cousteau. And how could any kid not feel the same sense of adventure that Tom and Huck must have felt, as depicted by the writings of Mark Twain in his book, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, while at Disneyland exploring the caves on Tom Sawyer Island, or climbing up in Tom and Huck's treehouse, or watching the majestic triple-decker Mark Twain steamship paddle wheeling by with its resonating steam whistle, filling the park with its iconic call. I have memories of my sister and I sitting very statuesquely so a cast member in one of the Main Street shops could cut our profile out of a piece of white construction paper, and then marveling at not just the likeness of us, but the fact the artist was able to capture the cowlick of hair that protruded like a vintage television antenna at the back of my head in the caricature. In reality, I look back at my experiences with Disneyland in significant stages. Growing up as a kid with my sister and grandma, visiting the park as a young guest. My teen years of wanting to ride the Matterhorn over and over, and later Space Mountain. That was until we discovered girls. Then came my college years and beyond. Working at Disneyland 6 years in all, making lifelong friendships, and learning probably as much about the opposite sex as I learned about Walt Disney during those years. I recall how each summer would be kicked off with a dozen grad nights and working shifts from 10:30 p.m. to 4:30 a.m. With eyelids that felt like sandpaper against my corneas, I somehow survived the sea of teens that descended the park like wide-eyed, formally dressed young adults, yet slowly transformed into walking zombies by closing time. Cast members sometimes resembled zombie-like creatures by 4:30 in the morning, too. During those 6 years working at Disneyland, I operated rides like Pirates of the Caribbean, the Davy Crockett Explorer Canoes, and the Mike Fink Keel Boats. One year, my last summer, in fact, I drove the monorail. Each attraction, at Disneyland there were no rides, only attractions, offered not only different experiences for the guests who partook in each, but each of those attractions also offered the cast members, another Disneyfied term for employee, equally unique experiences and responsibilities. Where else could you pilot a submarine below the Arctic Pole, motorboat along the jungle rivers of Africa, or make the jump to lightspeed and arrive on the far moon of Endor? For the most part, all of us who worked at Disneyland identified the unique positions we held as something special, from the sweeper to the ride operator, from the food service personnel to those working in merchandise, entertainment, maintenance, and landscaping, each job description offered a more unique working environment than most any other employment opportunity that could be found near or far. At Disneyland, I learned how to control large numbers of guests in many situations, a skill that would be instrumental in my ability to speak publicly without being nervous and even remain relatively comfortable in front of large groups of people. These skills contributed to my ability and comfort in performing magic to large audiences, as well as playing bass and guitar in front of thousands of people in various nightclubs and venues. A number of years later, and yet another stage in my relationship with Disneyland, I had become a high school teacher in Southern California.